It is so crazy I'm doing this. I was in Wichita last night. We had a real full crowd, and lots of people were committing to it, excited some, and some are going, it's pretty hilarious. My sister-in-law, Sherry McVeigh, okay, I'm in on this. And she's going to learn to share the gospel. We're challenging people to share the gospel with at least 12 people by Easter, once a week. If you don't do it, nobody gets in trouble, and as I said, nobody goes to hell, okay? We're just doing a challenge, and it's so weird that I'm doing it because I'm a non-program, non-goal-setting, blah, blah, blah. You know, I want it led by the Spirit. But here's the deal. I know that me and my family and my stream can be so led by the Spirit that we're often giving ourselves an out to never be intentional about our lives. And we got to learn by doing, guys. Learn by doing. I could do a conference and a sermon series on evangelism, and you might not be any better at evangelism. Evangelism's learned by doing it, by sharing the good news. So, we're challenging people to do that. I've got a cheat this week. I think Amy thinks this is a cheat. But was able to share, and get ready. If anybody shared the gospel, we're just going to take 2-3 minute moments to share this. But I had the opportunity to lead my 8th child to Jesus. Do we have the picture of me and Pate? Amy snapped this picture. That's me and my 6-year-old patience sitting actually Saturday night before the news came about Marietta. Patience is 6 years old. She's been feeling conviction about sin. Not because we were going, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. She's been feeling fear and bad, and she's scared. She goes, I think I hate God. She was having all these weird, you know, thoughts, and she would say, but I don't, I really don't. And she was torn inside and feeling conviction over sin and interested in the Bible and in Jesus and the story of the gospel. So Amy had talked to her multiple times and just couldn't get her saved, but just kidding. So Amy did a lot of the great work. But she ended up on my lap on Saturday night and was curious. Dad, she overheard us talking. We were talking in the bedroom about 5 nights ago, and I said, I think I said the phrase, or you did, I think she's getting close to being ready. And she walked by the room, which she's been asking me every day, Dad, I'm close to ready, what? Close to ready. I go, well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Close to ready to what, Dad? So she wanted to talk about it. So she got on my lap, and I said, here's what we were talking about. Is you being close to being ready of what all your brothers and sisters have done, what your mom and I have done. It's the most important thing we've ever done, where we felt conviction over our sin. We were in trouble, and we realized that Jesus was the one that washes away our sins. And then I did my thing of describing to 6-year-old, it's like if you did something bad and, you know, someone else came and took your spanking. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And I've led a lot of my kids to Jesus through the spanking story. And so I did that. Or like we went into a store and we took a bunch of toys and we ran out. We didn't pay. What would happen? And we went through it. The cops would come after, you know. Well, wouldn't it be something if we did that, we felt bad about it, and then someone came and paid our bill. Oh, yeah. You know, so we talk about it and we ask her, and I didn't push her. I'm just trying to do training. Listen, number one, don't wait for somebody else to lead your children to Jesus. You lead them to Jesus. Don't wait to take them to a service. You can talk about the gospel. Don't force them. We never forced patients. I didn't force any of these babies. We showed them the good news. We talked about our story and how happy, happy, happy we were to know Jesus. And it kindled something in their hearts. And that's what happened with patients. So I asked her, do you think you want to ask Jesus in your heart? You want to ask him for forgiveness? And she said, yes, because I think she hadn't been ready before. And so her eyes get this big when she's so cute. And so she's just watery-eyed, and she's feeling bad for her sin, but trusting in Jesus. And I led her through the prayer, and she was born again, rescued out of Adam, and came into Jesus. Isn't that great? 6-year-old. I made her manipulate it. Somebody may say, oh, you manipulate. We really asked her and moved with her heart. If we'd done it earlier, she wasn't ready. We need to wait for your child. Keep talking to them, but don't get panicked and think you got to get them to pray a prayer before they understand their lostness to a certain degree, sin, and they need a Savior. They need someone to pay for their sin and that their hearts can be clean and that the Spirit can come in them. So that was a good time. And we got a lot of discipling to do with patients. It'll be an awesome. She said, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. She's going to be a follower. Just after this moment, Josh saw what was going on in the living room. There's my 3-year-old, and he jumped up on my lap, put the lightsaber down of being a stormtrooper, got up on my lap, and I go, hey, Justin, I go, so, have you done bad things, and have you sinned? Oh, yeah, I've sinned. I go, good, do you feel bad about that? Oh, no, I don't. He didn't feel. So, listen, I didn't pray the prayer with Josh. Josh wasn't ready to talk about a savior because he doesn't need one yet. He's just a dirty, dirty little sinner. I'm kidding. But he likes his sin right now, and later he's not, and it'll be good. So we're praying for Josh, and we're going through it. It's just an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. Lead your children to Jesus. Don't force it, but keep talking about it. Keep the gospel before them. Keep your witness before them, and that it's a priority to you. It's the best thing you can ever do with your kiddos. So we're going to baptize patience here after a while and keep discipling her. Amen. So does anybody else, before we do something else here real quick, does anybody else have any stories of evangelism as you went out on the practicum? Go ahead, John. Of course you do. As loud as you can. Can everybody hear him?
So my brother sent me a text. He was going through some problems, and I just started really feeling stirred for him. And me and Jonathan have talked about this before. I really feel, it's crazy to say this, but I can't share the gospel with my brother because I feel like I'm not worthy, because he's my successful older brother, businessman, done good in life. Who am I?
And there's been some murder stuff.
Yes, yeah, murderer, drug addict, to come down here and share their gospel. So I'm like, you know,
I've not qualified
to share the gospel with my brother. I can share it with other people, but not him. So I had been feeling that John had been praying with me about that over a couple times, and just felt really stirred last week for him, to the point Monday and Tuesday I was just in tears in my car driving,
really
praying for my brother.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm going to go to Texas. So I drove to Texas last weekend, and I wanted to go, and I wanted to pray like never before over it. I wanted to go bathe in prayer. I wanted it to be like a presence when I walked in that wasn't of me. Like, you know, I want the Lord to have his way.
Yeah.
Because it's my brother. I care about my brother, right? We see people perishing all the time, and we get bound up in fear,
yep.
And we don't say what we need to say. We got this great cure, and we hide it. So I go to Texas, not knowing what's going to happen. Kind of freaking out about it. Like, this is going to be weird. I'm not ready for this. I get there. The first night I'm there is Friday night. It's New Year's Day. It's the day after New Year's. And me and my brother, I was helping him put his Christmas stuff up, and out of the blue, he said, I got a question for you. I got this devotional yesterday, and I want to know if you would sit down and go over it with me.
He said that to you?
So I just grin ear to ear. I'm blown away. That's I don't know awesome. Where this comes from, because we've never talked church. He's not really a churchy guy.
And kind of wake it, seeing if your deal's real.
Yeah.
He's been suspicious.
Yeah. And there's been some stuff before I got locked up, that I had really destroyed our relationship. And
yeah.
So I'm just like blown away. I'm just praising God. And I'm like, what just happened? So we'll come to find out, 2 days before I came down there, he was feeling stirred. He goes to the local church to find out about what he would have to do to get married there, because he had gotten married before and gotten a divorce, and he didn't know about any of that. And this little lady says, you know what, I got something for you. And it was a devotional, and it was something about I'll lead you in my path devotional that she had given him to start reading. And the crazy thing was, Monday, the scripture that was on my heart was in Proverbs 3, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding,
wow.
But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The word I kept getting for him was direct your path. I get there, he's got this devotional called direct your path. He had been praying for weeks that I didn't know this before I even came down there, that the Lord would direct him. He was feeling a stirring for the Lord, didn't know what it looked like or how to do it. So we spent all Friday night, 2 hours in the Word, dividing the Word
wow.
together. Then we spent Saturday night dividing the Word. Then I come home Sunday, and Sunday night he calls me, he texts me at 9:30, are you still up? I'm like, yeah, what's up? And he calls me, and he's like, dude, I'm going over these passages. You think you can go over them with me? Blown away. Who can do that but the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Who could do that but the Holy Spirit?
That's great, John.
So now I'm like, yes.
So your point is, pray, pray, pray.
Yeah.
And trust God to break in on hard situations.
Yes.
That is awesome. Amen?
That's great. Great.
So he's getting counseled by his past meth murderer brother, professional guy. That's just phenomenal. Can you, is it for everybody? Can you take it?
No,
yeah.
It's just a sharing moment I have.
Yeah, perfect.
Sadly, I lost the only tree I had in my yard through the ice storm.
Let us pray.
And contacted a friend who knew someone that ground tree stumps. So this guy's up. He's done a marvelous job, and it's very inexpensive, which is also great. And I'm watching him out the window, and I'm thinking about it, you know, what am I to do with this man? So God led me, I'll make it short, led me to witness to him, basically to ask him his spiritual journey.
That's how you did it?
That's what I do always, is just because we all have them.
Yep.
I don't, anybody.
So you'll say it how? Just
that's what I say. I said, I just love to hear of your spiritual journey. Mm. I love asking people that. And that led to everything else, which led to, well, yeah, I've gone off and on to church. My folks always went and took me and yada, yada. But nothing, when I asked him about his personal moment with Christ, he didn't have it.
Sure.
He didn't have it, but it led me to be able to share what mine was and what it means to be
that's great.
A believer.
Amen. Amen. So that's a great help. Yeah, what's your spiritual journey? And that leaves it open, and then you go, and then you end up telling your journey. That's a great help. Amen. Yeah, okay, Amy wants to go real quick.
Okay, I don't have a successful share the gospel moment, but I have a successful that I crossed over and talked to someone, and I'm just laughingly saying that because it hit me. It was the 7th, and I do have that goal, like, okay, I want to try and do this once a week, and I'll make it. And I was at the track, and there was just one other girl there, and it hit me when I was almost done. Oh, my. It's the 7th. This is my last day to get my once a week, and there's just one girl. But this is probably it. And so, but just going off what Dad said, I wanted some way to come in. It's hard to figure out how you start. And so I was just praying about that. And I'm in the midst of this week of getting ready to have this thyroid surgery, and the Lord has just been so amazingly gracious to me where I feel the freshness of my testimony because of that. It's just like you say, it breaks through into reality. And so I'm flying high in the Lord, so to speak. And so it hits me, you know, that he is my passion. And so I just asked her that as I was getting ready to leave. And we kept watching each other as we were suffering, crossing over, doing different workouts at the track. And so it was easy to initiate. And so anyway, just broke through and said that, you know, Jesus is my passion. And I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I don't meet new people very often, so I don't want to waste this moment. Can I encourage you in him, or can I tell you about him? And so I just wanted to share that because I think she's on the path to knowing him, and I didn't really share the gospel, but it hit me that, like Dad said, everybody's on a journey, and I don't want to assume. There's that awkwardness of like you're demeaning someone, like you know something they don't know, and so it's nice to say, you know, he is the best thing. Can I encourage you in him? I'm not going to assume they don't know him. So
say the phrase again.
Jesus. Well, it sounds corny, but just that Jesus is my passion, and I don't want to waste this opportunity to either encourage you in him or tell you about him.
Great. That's awesome. Great. Awesome. Good. Well, hey, yeah, go for it.
I shared the gospel with my son's mom. Actually, well, Cassie was gone for the weekend, and I had never taken the chance to do that. I mean, I told her, you know, what I was doing, but I'd never shared with her what she could do to change her life. And while I was doing that, Cassie was sharing with her mother. And
you were sharing the gospel up in, yeah, go ahead. You want to say that? Yeah. Who? Yeah, go.
I went home for Christmas, and I've been feeling on my heart to not like lose my focus when I go home. I've been doing this 1 year Bible plan, and so while I was there, I went ahead and read it, even though usually we're really busy and I just don't do it. And I knew that they were going to ask me about it. And the first day I did it, my mom said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Just read my Bible." And it was really weird. And then the next day, my sister asked me, and I said, "Read my Bible." And so then that night, me and my mom talked for like 2 hours just about, because I was raised Jehovah's Witness beliefs until I was like 6. So every time we talk about God, it's usually conflicting beliefs.
Yeah.
But she had a lot of moments where she realized the truth. Like she was like, "Oh yeah, that's right." And I don't know how it got to it, but I just remember saying, "Yeah, it's the best news on the planet." And she said, "What is?" And I said, "Well, that Jesus died for our sins and that we can be saved." And she said, "Wow, that's really simple." And I said, "Yeah, it is." And then I prayed for her, and it was really good. So,
Cassie, that's great. What's your mom's name? Sherry. Everybody pray for Sherry, okay? That's a sweet moment you get to share the gospel with. That's great. Amen. Well, we're going to share stories like that every week. As they come, and again, not to perform, not to make. The only reason we share them is so we give you ideas and stir your faith and stir your heart, because we all can do this. As someone said, you have a story or you wouldn't be in the kingdom. If you don't have a story, we need to talk about whether you're in the kingdom, because you got in somehow by understanding the revelation of Jesus. Amen.